Hello and welcome to a Friday edition of the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Roberts, and in today's podcast, we're going to be talking about the news of the day, injury news, and also going over people to pick up for the weekend slate of games, hopefully to help you win your playoffs. Tonight, I am joined by both Daniel Green. Hello, Daniel.
What's going on, man?
Not too much. And Tyler Watts. Tyler, how's it going, my man?
Oh, I'm pretty good. How are you, Mark?
Not too bad. You guys, this is so Thursday night is the first night of the March Madness game. So I think it's like a true test of how big of an NBA fan you are. Are you guys watching March Madness games or are you watching NBA games? Dan?
I'm watching all NBA games.
Wow, no college basketball at all.
Yeah, this was the first year in my life, all of my 24 years that I haven't that I haven't done an NCAA bracket.
I didn't know you were 24. Is that true?
I'm getting younger as the show, the more episodes we do.
You didn't even do a bracket, huh?
No. Yeah, no, I didn't know. Wow. Like I was gonna do one last night. Well, as you know, so last night my dog, he got bit at the dog park, so I was at the pet, the emergency room for animals, which Mark didn't even know existed.
That's true.
So that ruined like last night. Why I got home really late, so I didn't do a bracket last night. That's when I was going to do them. So, and then the game started already today, and I was like, you know what, like me and you discussed on a podcast, I think a few months ago, we didn't even know why Ben Simmons went to LSU. Like we know like nothing about college basketball.
That's true. Tyler, what about you? Are you following college basketball tonight, or are you sticking with the NBA?
In the last 3 years, I've watched one college basketball game, so I think that'll tell you your answer right there.
Oh, my goodness. So I'm like the biggest college basketball fan of the three of us.
I know why Ben Simmons went to LSU, though, if you want to know that.
Wait, what? No, we had a listener tell us that.
I was saying, even I knew that. They did a thing on ESPN on that like 100 times.
Yeah. What was it about?
Remember doesn't his uncle?
Yeah, so someone he knows like is like the assistant coach there. Like it's like his godfather or something. Like it's not even like someone who's actually related to him, I think. But he like took him in, and so now he like went there just because that guy coaches there.
Well, he wasted a year. I watched two LSU games this year, which was too many, and they wasted him this year. I think that was pretty clear.
Yeah, it was a disaster. Now they're talking he might not even be the top pick, which I still think he probably will be, but. It was just a horrible decision, and like I feel bad for kind of feel bad for him, and he basically was just used by his uncle, parents, whoever made that, basically forced him to go to LSU.
Yeah, but he lost the whole year of player development. Like, yep. Think about if he would have been with Krzyzewski or Calipari or someone else.
Yeah, it looks bad. I mean, you know, his team, you know, didn't come close to making the NCAA tournament, and then I think they didn't even play in the NIT, and like it's just a bad look.
They chose not to play in the NIT. I saw that story too, and I was like, I don't understand why you wouldn't.
What? Why did they do that?
The article I read didn't really ever say why. They were just like, they didn't make the NCAA tournament, so they bowed out of the postseason.
Jeez.
And I was like, okay, that's an interesting decision.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of other teams who have done that in the past, but normally it's like very big programs who just, you know, think that the NIT is nothing. I mean, LSU. I guess they're still there. I guess
they'd hang an NIT banner up, well, I think.
What's that?
They would hang, like, if they won the NIT tournament, they would hang a banner in the rafters.
Probably, yeah.
I would think so. All right, enough about NCAA college basketball. Although, if you do want to see who I picked to go to the Final Four, you can go to fantasypros.com.
Did you pick my Wisconsin Badgers at least? That's the only game I'm going to watch.
Actually, to spite you, I picked them to lose in the first round.
Did you? Dude, you bastard. That's messed up.
It wasn't completely because of you, but yeah, I don't like Wisconsin, so I picked them to lose.
What? Why don't you like Wisconsin?
Wait, who's Wisconsin playing?
We play Pittsburgh.
Oh, yeah. Pitt's definitely winning. That's like one of the closest schools to me, man. I'm going for them.
We're going to destroy you guys.
I didn't go there, so that's not us guys.
We're going to destroy Pittsburgh. I can't wait. Tomorrow, 6:50 on TNT.
I've hit 11 of my 12 picks so far, so it's not looking good for your Badgers.
No one likes a bragger. Come on.
I have to do it while I still can, because I'm afraid that tomorrow it's not going to go so well.
Who did you pick to win?
Kansas.
No, Michigan State's winning.
Yeah, you're probably right. All right, on to the NBA, the fun games. Hold on, before we do that, do you guys want to know my theory on why people care about March Madness, which is probably a pretty obvious theory, but like everyone thinks they like college basketball, right? Because for the first two weekends, all you do is watch the last 5 minutes of every close game. But there's always that uncomfortable moment where you end up, where everybody there has to end up watching like the first half of some college basketball game, and you can tell nobody actually enjoys it. So I think everyone's just tricked themselves into thinking they like watching college basketball.
Oh, I mean, like my answer was going to be gambling.
Yeah, I mean, they like having the bracket, but even then, like, everyone's at their bracket, and, like, they've gambled on it or whatever. They have the bracket, but if anybody gets stuck watching a first half, like, everybody's bored, you know? The only part that anybody really enjoys is watching the last 5 minutes of the close games. And that happens a lot in March Madness because you have so many games happening at once.
Right.
Totally. But if you had NBA playoffs in that same setup, it would be 10 times better.
So yeah.
I'm
with you.
All the people that say they like college basketball better than the NBA, I think are.
I mean, college basketball is a horrendous product. If you really enjoy basketball,
yeah.
And you can objectively, it's just they stink.
They don't try harder. They don't do anything better. So.
You mean better than the NBA?
Yeah.
Yeah. No. It's. Yeah.
I get really tired of like they try harder and they care more than the NBA players.
There's more white guys.
is that what people like? Maybe.
I mean that's what Donald Trump would say, right? He'd say it in a non-subtle way or
Your way was pretty non-subtle.
I guess it was, right?
Yeah. All right. For reals, now on to the NBA. We're gonna switch it up tonight. We're going to go over players to pick up for this weekend, and then we're going to go over the news and notes from today. So I thought what would be helpful, we kind of did this last week, and I had some good feedback on it. So for the weekend matchups, where you're at the point in the week where you're probably trying to focus in on one or two categories, I thought rather than just saying, here's the best players to pick up, it might be useful to say, for this category, here's the best players to pick up. For this category, you know, go category by category, because I think a lot of listeners are going to, for this weekend, focus in on one or two categories to try to win. So I think we're going to approach it that way. Just go through the six positive counting categories, talk about who to pick up to help you win this weekend. So where should we start? You want to start with points, or should we do that last?
No, let's just start with points.
Start with points. All right. My number one pickup for points this week is a guy who has two games. He plays on the Philadelphia 76ers. He's owned in 11% of Yahoo leagues. Do you guys want to take a guess?
Is it Cannonball coming?
You guys both got it. Yeah, Isaiah Cannon. He's been playing really well lately. Like I said, he's available in 90% of Yahoo leagues. I think he could pretty easily, in the two games that he has this weekend, get you 30 points or so. With the injuries that they're facing in in Philadelphia, he's played over 30 minutes his last three games. He started all of those games, and he's scored 22 points, 20 points, and 15 points. So I'd look for him to get at least 30 points this weekend. I don't think you're going to do any better than that on the waiver wire with any other players. You guys okay with that recommendation, or
have any thoughts? Yeah, no, I'm totally with that. You got tonight 15 points, only took 10 shots, but got 7 free throws. So I think
I think the fact that you're saying only 10 shots with him is pretty reassuring for his value.
Well, our boy Ish Smith took 25 shots. Dear God, nice job, Ish. 9 for 25 from the floor. I mean, Ish is just gunning the ball.
Put it up, baby.
Yeah, I mean, shockingly tonight for Philly, Hollis frickin' Thompson took 15 shots. That's got to be a career high in shots for him.
Somebody's got to put up the shots there.
Yeah, but so I mean, there's lots of shots there, but the minutes are the thing that stands out for me with Cannon. I played 33 tonight. So as long as he's getting minutes, he's normally, his usage rate's pretty high, and he's going to give you points.
Well, and the other thing he's going to give you, and he's actually my top pickup in one more category, because the other thing he's going to give you is three-pointers. In his three starts, he's had 5 three-pointers, 4 three-pointers, and on Thursday night, he only had 1 three-pointer. But, you know, over the course of those three games, he gave you 10 three-pointers. I think he's good for 6 or 7 three-pointers this weekend as well. So I don't think you're going to find anybody close to Cannon on the waiver wire that for points and three-pointers. So I can't recommend him strongly enough. And again, I think he's going to be available in almost every league. So if you're behind in those categories or close in those categories, I think you want to look for him to pick him up. And the only thing to be careful with him on is field goal percentage. He's not a very good shooter. I think on the season, I'm trying to look it up, he shoots 36% on the season. He's actually shot 46% the last week, but I would expect him to revert closer to that 36%. So even though it's two games, he can still be kind of a drag on your field goal percentage because, as Daniel said, he has sort of a high usage rate. So be careful with him, but I think he can help you in both of those categories if you need it. All right, let's move on to rebounds, which is always, I think, probably the easiest category to try to get off the waiver wire. In some regards.
Yeah, there's always a bunch of big stiffs available.
Yeah, exactly. The guy who comes out the highest in my projections is Ed Davis. He plays two games. He's been doing well rebounding lately. You know, I think he's good for 15 to 16 rebounds this weekend. But the guy I really wanted to talk about was Bismack Biyombo. I wanted to get your guys' thoughts on him. He's had quite a week so far. Toronto's played 5 games, or is scheduled to play 5 games this week. They have 2 more on Wednesday, on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And Bismack's had some big games this week, but some of that has been because Jonas Valanciunas has set out. And we don't know for sure whether Valanciunas is going to be out this weekend or not. So with Biyombo being maybe the more high upside guy and Ed Davis being the sure thing, which guy would you guys prefer to go with?
I mean, it's not even close. And I would
go. Is that because Biyombo had 25 rebounds on?
I mean, partly. Yeah. I mean,
on Thursday night,
I mean, he played 42 minutes, 16 points, 25 rebounds, which is absurd, and 2 blocks. Even if Valanciunas, we don't know if he's going to play, but even if he does play, Bismack's going to probably get the same number of minutes that Ed Davis gets, which is probably going to be in that low 20s.
Yeah. So as a starter, Biyombo has gotten 40 or 38 rebounds in 2 games, which is amazing, and 4 blocks. Now the 2 games prior to him moving in the starting lineup, he had 8 combined points and 10 combined rebounds. In a good amount of minutes, almost 48 total minutes. So we've seen him not have like huge games off the bench as well, which is why I'm a little hesitant to recommend him over Davis, who I feel like is more of like a sure thing night to night.
Yeah.
You can play it and wait for, to see if Valanciunas is out. I think Biyombo's a no brainer, but if Valanciunas is maybe playing, I think it becomes more questionable for me.
Yeah, Ed Davis has always been a points per minute, a fantasy points per minute monster, and in DFS terms, a point per minute monster as well. I mean, he's similar to a guy like Kenneth Faried, who, when you look at box score some nights and they're always under 30 minutes, and you're like, why is, and he'll have like a double double, and they'll be like, why can't this guy play more? For Freed, maybe it's defense, but Ed Davis, I think, is a solid defender. But I mean, you look at tonight, Ed Davis only got 17 minutes. You know, he's not going to give you points. He gives you only five points, but 9 rebounds, 3 assists, and 1 steal. So
yeah, no, I mean, they're both kind of only rebounds only. Although Biyombo is pretty good at blocks as well.
Yeah, but I mean, like you're saying, Ed Davis is a pretty safe floor. Even, I mean, the guy got 17 minutes with 9 rebounds. So
But I guess the safe way to play it is, like, if you just need 15 rebounds and that will lock you into a win, I think I'd go with Ed Davis. Now, if you need 25 rebounds or if you need to also get blocks, I think Biombo's probably your guy. He's a little more risky. He is killing me this weekend, though. I'm playing him a couple places. For the week, he has 44 rebounds, 10 blocks, and is shooting 78% from the field. I think there's a chance he might cool off towards the end of the week, or maybe that's just me hoping he does.
Yeah, I mean, he, right now he's in the running for MVP of the fantasy playoffs. And you know who else is in the running? Shelvin Mack.
Absolutely.
Dude, Chicken Nugget's been balling. Another dominant performance tonight, 15 points, not eight rebounds and 10 assists. That little nugget, it's just shocking.
What kind of present are you going to send me if Shelvin Mack helps you win your fantasy playoffs?
Probably a 20-piece. By the time it gets to where you live, though, it's going to be really soggy. I wonder if there's a way to maintain the chicken nuggets.
Dude, McDonald's chicken nuggets don't spoil. Just get them out.
I think you could ship those by boat, and they would get here and be just fine.
I'll ship you a 20-piece.
Didn't you see that thing about the Happy Meal? The lady left the Happy Meal off for a week, and it was the exact same when she went and picked it up.
Yeah, I thought it was a year, but I think that same point is valid.
Do you guys eat fast food? I never eat fast food.
Mike, so we were driving around town the other day, and my daughter pointed at the McDonald's arch and asked me what that was because it has the same letter as her first name.
Yeah.
She had no idea what it was for. She thought maybe it was for her name.
You've never taken her to McDonald's?
She's never been – she had no idea what McDonald's was.
Dude, that's a parent abuse.
You just told me you don't eat fast food.
Well, I don't eat more, but when I was a kid, man, getting the Happy Meal, that was awesome.
I think Chick-fil-A has replaced McDonald's as the new go-to kids place. That's all my kids want to do is go to Chick-fil-A.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh. I did love Chick-fil-A too as a kid, but yeah. So yeah, the only thing that I'll eat is Chipotle, which I guess is dangerous given they're basically all the troubles they're going through right now, the health problems. But that's the one thing that I still will eat. But I don't know if that's fast food or not. Is that technically fast food?
Don't they have a motto about it, it's not fast food, it's food prepared fastly or something? I don't know. Danny Ainge apparently eats there three times a day.
Danny Ainge?
Seriously, have you not read those articles?
No,
have you seen those, Tyler?
Yeah, I've seen those. I don't know how he does it, though.
Yeah, apparently he has three Chipotles that he goes to that are, one close to his house, one close to the office, and he makes everybody come with him. He's had free agency meetings at Chipotle.
That's interesting. Yeah, I don't know how I never heard that. That's awesome.
Actually, one time when I went to Chipotle in Salt Lake, I crossed paths with Gordon Hayward there.
Was he handsome in person?
He was very tall.
You're 6'6", right?
Yeah, I'm not used to seeing guys that are significantly taller than I am. But he was very tall.
How tall is he? He's 6'9"?
He's got to be at least 6'9".
Did you
I think
strike
he's
up a conversation 6'8". About your height?
No. I left him alone. I can't think of anything more annoying than when people go up to pro athletes. So I left him alone.
Are you freakish tall where people stare at you when you go places?
No, I think I'm right on the border of that. Maybe they do.
They do.
I don't feel like they do though. I think I'm not freakishly tall, but I'm tall.
Yeah, dude, Mark, I just Googled it. There's an ESPN article that's titled "Danny Ainge is the King of Chipotle."
Yeah. He said he was the Jared Fogle of Chipotle, which I thought was an unfortunate choice.
Yeah, probably not the greatest. But there was just an article in the paper saying that said Jared Fogle got beat up in prison. So at least that's good news.
So, hey, that's not very nice.
All right, I take that back.
So they asked him how he felt about the this is the last thing about Chipotle, and then we'll get back to the show. But they asked Danny Ainge how he felt about the fact that they had an E. coli outbreak, and he just said that means there'll be shorter lines when I go.
Can I tell you something about Chipotle real quick?
Yeah.
Sadly, there are no Chipotles by where I live.
Well, that's too bad.
I've never had Chipotle. Can you believe that?
You can come to my house, Tyler. We'll go to Chipotle together.
All right. Thanks, Mark.
Hey, Tyler, I want you to weigh in here. Bismack Biyombo or Ed Davis for rebounds this weekend?
I'm going Biyombo. I don't know. I just like his tall lumbering over Ed Davis's.
All right. There you go. And Biyombo, while we're at it, I know I had Cannon for points and threes. I actually have him projected as the most blocks this weekend as well. And certainly if Valanciunas sits out, that will probably go up even more. But he is good for blocks and short amounts of playing time. The rebounds don't necessarily go that way, but I think he's pretty solid for blocks as well. If I had to go with a non-Bismack Biyombo guy for blocks, I would probably go with Willie Cauley-Stein. He's been getting some run as in the Kings starting lineup, and he can block shots occasionally. He doesn't do a whole lot else, so I wouldn't pick him up for any other reason, but I think you could probably go after blocks with him and be just fine this weekend. Probably get you know, two or three. All right, let's move on to assists. And Dan, you sort of spoiled the lead here, but my guy for assists, can you believe it? Sheldon Mack is not owned in over half of he's only owned in 14% of Yahoo leagues right now as of the time of this recording. He has two games this weekend. How many assists do you think he'll get in those two games?
Dude, he's been phenomenal for me this week. I mean, I would put it – I'd be very comfortable saying 14 in two games. All right, maybe 13. I'd put the over under 13.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, anything in that range. I don't think you're going to get anywhere close to that on the waiver wire. I mean, I think Evan Turner is the other guy you could think about picking up that would give you – assists. He's owned in a bunch of leagues, but not quite half of ESPN leagues. Jose Calderon, again, if you just need assists, is a guy who's playing two games. He's going to play a lot of minutes. He might get close to that 10 assists range as well, but I don't think anybody's getting close to Mac. Mac has had 28 assists in his last three games. You may be underselling him at 13.
Yeah, no. Well, that's because I'm remembering he's still shelving Mac. So it's like. Yeah, like how long can you keep – and they played Phoenix tonight, which is not
– But, Dan, you have to remember our conversation about when he got traded to Utah. You know, we basically looked at we extrapolated out his per 36 minutes and
yeah, no,
you know, as we discussed then, he'd averaged quite a few assists per game.
Yeah, no, I mean,
on a per 36-minute basis. So.
I got to say, you were spot on with that analysis on him. I just didn't – I've seen him play, and he just – stinks when I watch him, so I didn't believe those numbers. And I thought the it was too small of a sample size, but yeah.
My only point is I'm not trying to say I was right, even though I was right. My point is he's not doing anything out of character. Like my point when we were talking about Biyombo was kind of like he's playing great right now, but we haven't necessarily seen him do this before for any, you know, significant stretch of time. So I'm not sure this will continue. Max stats, you know, project out to have him producing basically what he's doing this run with Utah. Now, I think he's playing a little above his projection, so that could regress to, you know, what, 6 or 7 assists per game instead of 10. But I think this is kind of who he is if he gets these minutes. Now, one interesting thing I did hear about Mac, I wanted to run past you, Dan, and see if this is maybe how you feel about it. So I can't remember. I think it was Haralabob was saying he thought Mac was one of the worst garbage time players in the NBA, which basically meant when he was getting in for minutes that didn't matter, he looked awful. And I'm wondering if that's what you saw as well. But his theory on Mac was he just didn't care about the garbage time minutes all that much. And so he didn't, like, play his normal game during those minutes. And so now he's playing in, like, a different situation where his minutes matter. He's sort of a different player.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely could see there's aspects of that where you treat garbage time is – you know, it is what it is. I mean, you know, it's basically irrelevant. So maybe that's the case. I mean, it's tough to say.
Interesting theory. I thought I'd share it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So go pick up.
The other guy, Mark, I would say that you didn't mention first, is Tim Frazier.
Oh, so, okay.
Tim Frazier is going to be starting for the Pelicans on Friday versus Toronto. He's going to replace, I think Norris Cole is probably going to, well, even if Norris Cole is back, I guess, it's not going to matter because Tim Frazier is going to start. And Tony Douglas, who was starting for Norris Cole, who was starting for Eric Gordon and Tyreke Evans. So
Andrew Tim Holiday.
Yeah, exactly. So Tim Frazier is going to start. He looked great last game. He had 14 points, three rebounds, 9 assists, and he looks fantastic. So he's an intriguing guy. Like, you know, I'm not like if someone like Max already taken in your league, take a flyer on Tim Frazier. I mean, they play the pace that the Pelicans play is very high. They're so banged up right now. He should get a lot of minutes. So he's another guy to be on the lookout for.
Yeah, excellent recommendation. How long do you have any sort of sense on how long he'll keep that job?
I wouldn't be surprised the rest of the season. I mean, like Elvin Gentry has already said openly that look, he wants to give all the young guys, you know, a chance to play extended minutes. Like they want to tank. That's basically, you know, he hasn't said that, but that's basically what he was saying.
That's code for what he said.
Yeah, I mean, they have no reason to play Drew Holiday 45 minutes and get him injured again. So I would look for a lot of their younger guys to get more minutes. And Tim Frazier did look great when he played, so it's even a bonus for them. So I think he does have a chance to start the rest of the year.
There you heard it here first. Go pick up Tim Frazier. All right, on to steals. This is not the most exciting player that you'll pick up all season, but he's produced pretty steadily in steals this season. I think if you're looking for 3 steals over the course of the weekend, he's probably as good of a player as you can pick up off the waiver wire for it. He's only owned in 7% of Yahoo leagues. That's Wesley Johnson. Now, he doesn't give you a lot else. This season, he's averaged 7 points, 3 rebounds, 1 three-pointer, less than an assist, less than a block, and shot 40% in 20 minutes per game, which are pretty terrible stats. But he has averaged over a steal per game even in that amount of time. And recently, he's played in the last month, he's played over 24 minutes per game, which is a bump up from his 20 minutes per game this season. So, you know, as far as steals go, there isn't a lot on the waiver wire. I'd probably look at somebody like Wesley Johnson, who's pretty solid to get you steals. Some other people to think about. Again, I mentioned Evan Turner already. If you need assists and steals, that's probably the way to go. Shelvin Mack is a possibility also for steals. Probably not as proficient there as Wesley Johnson, though. Corey Brewer, Iman Shumpert, and Jose Calderon are other guys you might want to consider. Anybody from that group catch your attention as somebody to target for steals? Dan?
God, I mean, I hate all those players.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's not a great... Yeah,
that's tough sledding too, because all those guys, they're not getting a lot of minutes. I mean, Wesley Johnson got, I think, under 20 minutes yesterday, and he got around 17.
Kind of up and down because he had 16. The game before he had 21. The game before he had 28. The game before he had 24. Then 24. So I don't know.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm with you. Like he has the athletic ability to get steals. So. I'd probably go that route if I really needed, you know, 1 or 2 steals for that weekend.
I know Corey Brewer's been playing better lately, so I don't know if that's another possibility. He's always has a good chance as anybody of getting like a 5 steal game. You know what I mean? Where he just comes in and has a bunch of steals all at once. But he's had 0 steals his last 2 games. And then there you go, like a few games prior to that against Chicago, he had 6 steals in a game. But I think if you want like a high risk, high reward steals guy, it's probably Corey Brewer.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with that.
Tyler, you have any thoughts on that group?
If I'm going for a steals guy, I'm going for the guy Dan already mentioned, Tim Frazier. Averages 1.3 steals per 36 minutes for his career, which is only the last 2 seasons and not that many games, granted. But I feel like maybe he can sneak you a steal or 2 if you need it.
There you go. I actually like that play as well.
I don't know anything about Steph's little brother, Seth Curry, other than the fact that he can shoot. Like, but he's Rondo. If Rondo is questionable right now, so if Seth Curry is probably going to get a lot of minutes if Rondo's out. Is he? Can he get steals? I have no idea. But and also, he could probably get you assists too, if you need assists. Because he got five yesterday, and he played 33 minutes. And I know George Karl said he wants to give Seth Curry some more minutes. Also, I guess I could have thrown him in. You know, the most important category. You know, when you talked about three pointers, he'd be another guy, Mark, to consider.
Yeah, that's true. You know, he didn't get any steals in his first game. His per 36 minute numbers, and again, granted, it's not a lot of minutes this year. He projects to do fine in steals, not great. I think
he's very slow. So I mean, I
wouldn't expect him to get more than two steals this weekend.
Yeah, and he's not very athletic, and he's slow. So I mean, but if he's going to get a lot of minutes, and the way Sacramento plays, you know, it's an option.
I'm crossing my fingers that Rondo sits out. I'm playing in a couple of leagues in the playoffs, and I could use a break on his assists.
I think it really may be a wink, wink, Rondo sit this one out, like from George Karl.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, like, you know, they have nothing to play for either anymore. And George Karl wants to play the younger guys. And they want to give Seth Curry a chance. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised at all if Rondo's out.
Yeah, I hope so. All right, guys, I want to get over to the news and notes, but first I want to share with you and our listeners a word from our sponsor, SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the only place I ever go to look for tickets for a game or concert. I have a SeatGeek app on my phone, and I just used it the other day to look up tickets for an NBA game in Salt Lake, hoping to go to one there soon, watch the Jazz play before the season runs out. The great part is SeatGeek has taken all the work and hassle out of shopping for tickets. They pull all the tickets available on other sites into one place so you save time and never miss a deal. You can set alerts for upcoming events, and SeatGeek will let you know if ticket prices fall. Even better, every ticket on SeatGeek is ranked based on value, so you can immediately find underpriced seats. And before you buy, you can use SeatGeek's detailed map to see a view from your seat. Best of all, SeatGeek is always honest and upfront with the pricing. Unlike StubHub, they show you the full ticket price from start to finish and never try to trick you with huge fees on the checkout page. And I would say even better than the best of all, my listeners get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. To get your $20 rebate, go to SeatGeek or download the SeatGeek app, go to the setting tabs, click add a promo code, enter the promo code MARC, that's M-A-R-C, and SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. All right, Dan. I'm going to kick it over to you, and you can share with us the news and the important news and notes from Wednesday and Thursday night's games.
All right, man. So not a ton of news, but there is some that we need to mention here. Quickly, each one more for the Bulls. The left hamstring, he injured on Thursday night. Man, the Bulls cannot catch a break. Derrick Rose came back and Butler came back, but now each one more went out. So, you know, if you had any thoughts of playing him, don't do it, especially because Rose is back anyway. Interesting for the Bulls also, Taj Gibson played tonight. He's dealing with a hamstring, so I thought for sure they were going to rest him. But I guess because the Bulls are battling for that playoff spot, and they thought Brooklyn's so mighty, they had to play Taj Gibson. So that's good if you're Taj Gibson owners, that he didn't miss any time. And he actually played 27 minutes, 12 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks. So really nice line from Taj. So
very steady. As we've mentioned several times, yeah.
Yep. Also, Mark, as we kind of just said a few minutes ago, Tim Frazier is going to start for the Pelicans on Friday versus the Blazers. This is they've had 34 different starting lineups this season. That's insane.
That's incredible.
I did watch New Orleans game. I think it was yesterday, and he was tremendous. Like he jumped out of off the screen. 14 points, three rebounds, 9 assists, 1 steal, and no turnovers. He looked great. So I think he's a very interesting play. Really, you know, the floor I'm unsure of, I guess, but the ceiling, a really high ceiling. If there's a guy, you know, one guy you're taking, you need to take a risk on and, and try to get to come back in one of your leagues, he might be my favorite play this weekend. So
that's high praise from you.
Yeah, I mean, he looked great. Now, granted, a lot of times when you know some of these younger guys look great, the next game they suck. So I'm a little nervous, but honestly, what he does tomorrow. But you know, I'm still going to be picking him up in a few leagues. So also we have Nerlens Noel dealing with some type of upset stomach. I don't even know why I read that. He's fine. He came back in the game and played well for Philly. Lance Stevenson, Mark. He started at point guard. This might have been the first game he started this year. So he started for Memphis tonight, and he did great, man. 38 minutes, 19 points. Dude took 21 shots. Man, the most shots on the Memphis team. Only made 8 of them, but 19 points on 21 shots, 7 rebounds, 6 assists, 1 steal. So a pretty nice line for Lance. Hopefully you picked him up if you listened to our show. A couple days ago. He's going to be a great play the rest of the week probably as well with all the guys that they have banged up. So keep playing him. Cody Zeller. This is an interesting one, Mark. I want to get your thoughts on. And you too, Tyler, if you want to chime in. So Cody Zeller left with the game against Miami today. A horrible loss for Miami. My horrible Miami Heat. He had left knee soreness, Cody Zeller, and left the game, didn't return. And that meant there were more minutes for Al Jefferson. And this was Al Jefferson looked really good tonight. And I know we haven't talked about Al Jefferson in a while. Like, he's been back. You know, but Cody Zeller's been starting, and they've kind of been limiting Al Jefferson's minutes to look, I think, around the low 20s. I'm not, you know, somewhere around there. But tonight he played 26 minutes at 21 points, 10 of 16 from the floor, 10 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal. Now, I'm not sure, Mark, maybe we haven't mentioned him because he's still so highly owned.
Yeah, he's owned in 90% of Yahoo leagues.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's kind of frustrating because now he should have been dropped, and now you should be able to pick him up. But
right, so I mean, maybe check your waiver wires if he's still available. He's a nice source of points and rebounds, Mark.
Certainly.
So
I expect him to not be available, but.
Well, yeah. So other guy, maybe you could look at Frank Kaminsky if Zeller's going to be out. But I'm not too. I wouldn't be too thrilled about playing Kaminsky. Been there, done that. Yeah. Vince Carter will not play or did not play against the Bucks tonight. So he's still dealing with that calf injury. Sorry, Tyler. I know Vince Carter's your boy.
You're just mad because he had a couple good games there, Dan. You're just mad. I understand.
No. I like Vince Carter, man. Kenneth Faried dealing with a back issue. Did not play Thursday against the Hawks. That meant the very untalented, very unspectacular Darrell Arthur started. I haven't even looked at his line yet. Let me check. I'm sure he'd see what he did.
One rebound, 6 points in 18 minutes. What a stud.
Wow. There you go.
One of the things I can count on, Dan, is if you're preparing the news and notes, there's going to be a Kenneth Faried note in there.
Well, I mean, dude, don't you think this is big? You don't think this is important news?
No, it is. It's just if I feel like every time we talk, we're talking about Kenneth Faried.
Well, it doesn't pain you at all. No pun intended. I guess because he's dealing with actual pain in his back, but that he never can play more than 30 minutes. And yes, I know he's defensively challenged.
Yeah, and offensively challenged for that matter.
Right, is it me or is this back injury like something he has every single year and he just sits out like 5 games with it every year?
I think that's part of the problem. He gets banged up. He's always hurt. Usually his lower body. He's always got different injuries dealing with.
Since you brought it up, I will mention the guy who got the majority of the minutes was Jusuf Nurkić. He played 26 minutes. He had 10 points, 7 rebounds, 1 steal, 1 block. He's a fantasy friendly guy. I've talked about him a lot this season. He's available in 70% of Yahoo leagues. He's another guy, if you needed rebounds and defensive stats, you could try to target this weekend.
And his other big, white, goofy friend, LaVern.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
LaVern had a really good game as well. He played 30 minutes, 16 points, 6 rebounds. I mean, Denver, they have talent. Both those guys have been banged up, Nurkić and LaVern. So,
I wonder how long they can keep Joffrey, Jusuf, and Nikola together.
I mean, you would think only how many more games are left in the season? Not too much longer. I
feel like there's a trade coming there.
They're gonna trade all three and just start Durrell, man.
If you look at our boy Mike Malone, what he did tonight. I mean, he really talk about he with the minutes. He started Samson, Arthur, Jokic, Gary Harris, and Moutier. But Gary Harris is the only one who saw over 30. I mean, Samson played 13 minutes, rightfully so, because he sucks. Arthur played 17 minutes, rightfully so, because he has no talent. But all those guys on the bench got a lot of minutes. I mean, those are all intriguing guys. Like, they're all risky because we don't know if they're going to get minutes. But, maybe you want to take a flyer on one of these guys on the weekend.
Yeah, agreed.
What coaching strategy is that? You start your two worst players and play like five better guys off the bench. What strategy is that, Mark? I'm interested.
Well, I mean, I occasionally see situations where a team will start somebody for a couple, I think you see situations like this for two reasons. Like, one is where, Gallinari's hurt and they don't want to change the rotation, and so they'll bring like the 12th man in as the starter so that they're the player who should be replacing Gallinari in the starting lineup gets to remain in their same role. I don't get the sense that the Denver has such a set rotation that that's what's going on here. I think it's more that they're just trying to put certain combinations of players together. So they must feel like between Moutier, Jokic, and Gary Harris, they have enough shooters on the floor that they want to put Arthur and Samson with those guys. And then that way Nurkic and DJ Augustine and Will Barton can get their shots off the bench. Whereas if those guys had to play with Gary Harris and Moutier and Jokic, they probably wouldn't get as many shots up. So I think in Denver, my hunch is they're just trying to find combinations of players that work together well. That don't, like if you put five shooters on the court, they're going to have some unhappy players. But I don't know.
It makes sense. I just feel like some of these guys, like if you're going to play Jakar Sampson 13 minutes, they should just like be the last 13 minutes in a blowout. They should not be the first any minutes of the game.
Yeah. No, that definitely makes sense. I'm guessing they're running him there because they want to have some scoring off the bench and they don't want to have too much shooting on the court at once. But All right, let's move on.
Yeah, so only a couple more to go. So Garrett Temple started Thursday versus Philly as Bradley Beal dealing with that hip and dealing with whatever else is hurting on him is, because he's a broken man.
His pelvis.
His pelvis. So, but Bradley Beal is expected to play. I think the next game is Saturday against the Knicks. So,
you were nice to call it a hip injury, but it really is a pelvis injury.
Yeah, no, it is. You're right. He's the first person in the history of human civilization to have like a pelvis injury somehow.
So, if you had to, maybe this is a dangerous question. I don't mean it.
Manage Ginobili with his injury.
I don't mean it in an R-rated way, but like if you were going to guess who was going to have a pelvis injury in the NBA, who would have been your leading, like who would have led your power rankings before it happened to Bradley Beal?
Oh, so or maybe it would have been Bradley Beal. No, it was so it wouldn't even be close for me. It'd be Anthony Davis.
Oh, that's a good one, Tyler. Any thoughts?
I was going to say the Birdman.
The Birdman? What are you talking about?
Yeah, what's the logic there?
Yeah, what is that?
Because the Birdman always has a crazy injury himself.
I mean, he's dealt with back injuries for years, but he never has like, anything weird.
Yeah, he does.
What are you talking about?
My top two candidates would have been Al Horford, because he had the two pectoral tears, which are so rare, right? Like, he's missed two seasons for pectoral tears, and then Brandon Knight, who seemingly sits out with some type of injury every season.
I went with Anthony Davis because he's soft as toilet paper. Kleenex would be softer, right? I've watched games where he gets gently touched and he gets a concussion, or something goes wrong where he's in the locker room and then he misses the game. And for DFS, it's an absolute killer, and you want to he's become like the first 60 games of the year or so, maybe the first 50, Like, playing him, you would just get the shakes when you saw his name, like, in a DFS lineup. You would just start shaking. So, you know, another other guy that I would say would be Nerlens Noel, because he went out with an eyelash injury last year, Mark. And I know I've told you this before. You didn't believe me. Look it up. It happened.
So, I'm just really happy you took my question seriously and answered it.
Absolutely. Here's why it's the Birdman, okay? Here's the injuries in the last 2 years for the Birdman. Sore back, bruised knee, bruised thigh, sore ribs, right ankle, elbow, illness, left calf, sore knee, and sore shoulder. So, well, like, he's got everything, man.
But nothing left. Yeah, but part of that, though, so, you know, he was on Miami and they weren't playing. So they basically just needed a reason to put him on the injury report.
So they said sore knee?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it hurts somewhere.
Yes. I mean, those really weren't, you know, true injuries, because he wasn't going to play anyway.
Well, then if he's not going to play, why do you got to say he's injured? Just be like, they're not suiting him up.
Because, like, per league rules, you can only, you know, you need, you know, they're just following guidelines. You know, you can only dress, like, however many players. Then you can have so many players on the, you know, injured reserve or saying they're injured.
I don't think they have to lie about the injuries anymore. I think that's old. I think they can just have him inactive.
Maybe that's true. But when was that rule change, though?
I think it's when they went to 13 roster spots. I think it was within the last 5 years, but I don't think it was like this season or anything.
All right, well then I don't know the answer to that, but I don't know. But also, like, maybe for, you know, if, like, a veteran, if you want to just, like, save face rather than saying he's inactive, you say he's got an injury.
Yeah,
you
know? It probably still does happen.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Dan, I know you have one more note about Marcin Gortat. He's healthy. Play him. Right.
Nice job. Yeah. There you go.
Thanks.
Lastly, Mark, I did want to note, because this is important, Markieff Morris got ejected today. Flagrant foul 2 for Washington. It's very shocking. Can't believe he would engage in such behavior. And Matt Barnes chased John Henson down a hallway for some reason. I just saw that on Twitter. I'm not sure what really happened, but two shocking developments.
Yeah.
From two characters who are very squeaky clean.
All right, guys, any last words of wisdom for our listeners this weekend?
No, good luck. I hope that you are still surviving when it comes to our next show on Monday.
Yeah, hopefully my voice will be back fully by Sunday, but I am feeling a little better. Tyler, any last words?
Apparently don't play Matt Barnes tomorrow, because everything says he's going to get suspended for this chase.
I would guess so, which only makes our buddy Lance Stevenson even better.
That's right. Go for Lance.
Dude, maybe Memphis is going to play that Xavier guy.
Mumford, man. Mumford's going ham.
Dude, every time I think of that, I think of Mumford and Sons.
I don't know what that is.
That's a band, right?
Wow. Dude, you guys disappoint me. Yes, that's a band.
Hey, at least I knew that was a band. Hey, all right. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening. Please go to iTunes, rate and review the podcast, and we will be back on Sunday with a preview of Week 21. Until then, hopefully you enjoy some basketball. Have a good weekend, everybody. Happy St. Patrick's Day. See you Monday.